Received a special calling this morning before I begin my sermon to just simply pray. And so I invite you to pray with me during this brief second. Precious God, during these moments of change and transition, we know, God, that you are the centerpiece of this place, that we follow you, and that we know that we are here to celebrate you. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, God, let us continue to be together, for when we are together, we are stronger together. And I pray, God, that we will continue to lift this place up, knowing that we're going to leave this place better than we walked in the door. God, we know that this place is all about love, and may we continue to hear the voices of love echoed through those who speak, because we know that we are listening to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So when I was a child, I never really celebrated Advent. I had no idea what Advent was. Actually, at that time, before I found Jesus, lost him, and found him again, my only memory of this time of the year was thanking God that we were getting out of school. And the teacher said,
amen.
And I know that there are some folks that I went to school with who received candy or chocolates, and they talked about this thing called an Advent calendar. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, because there's only really four holidays that we celebrated as a Southern Baptist. Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, and homecoming, which leads to revival. We didn't celebrate all this Advent gobbledygook. We just didn't see no purpose in it. We had no idea. So, how many of you did not celebrate Advent when you were a kid? How many of you did celebrate Advent when you were a kid? Okay, so it's fairly mixed. Did you celebrate Advent? Okay, I didn't. Okay, as we know. So, I was unsure of what Advent was until I found MCC in Tucson in 2005. So, I'm relatively new to this Advent gig. And when I was asking the pastor at the time, she was talking to me about her preparations for Advent, and I'm like, are we adding an air conditioning unit in the church? Because I didn't get it. I was like, Advent. I'm like, really? I don't understand. That was really just a bad joke. But it really happened. It's really true. I promise. And she just shook her head and said, okay, you have a lot to learn, Grasshopper. So, all of a sudden, my first Advent, the fabric, the altar cloth and everything, you'll know that I paid attention. The fabric and everything was changed from green to purple, and it was an absolutely beautiful purple. And people that celebrated this holiday and this season were acting a little strange. They were acting a little nicer than normal. I'm not going to go there. Like, their spiritual fervor had hit kind of a feverish pitch, like they were excited about something, and I wanted that. So when the time came for seminary, I knew very little about Advent, but over time, I had really come to appreciate this season. I really come to appreciate the beauty that Advent beholds. Now, I know some of you may be asking, why Advent? Why are we celebrating it? Why is it important? Who cares about Advent? No worries, because I was like you at one time. Isn't the season between Thanksgiving and Christmas really about Christmas parties and being together as a family, shopping and getting that last parking space, traveling and receiving fruitcakes and other presents that no one really wanted? Isn't that what it's about? Well, Advent to me is a season of preparation. It's a season of preparation. Advent begins a story of Jesus and his love for us. It couples the now and the not yet. We focus on the coming of Jesus the first time and the second time. It drowns out the clattering chaos and cacophony of carolers and singing to remind us that God is still promising us something today. That God is not done, that God is only just beginning. Advent is a season that gives us hope, but it also gives us a reality check. Over the last few weeks, we were talking about the Christmas story, or Ebenezer Scrooge by Charles Dickens. And Scrooge was about to get his reality check. He had been through technically three ghosts: Jacob Marley, the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and then right when he was about to leave, he received the ghost of the Christmas future. Now, if you don't know the story, and many of us may, some of us may not know, but the ghost of the Christmas future really kind of became the apex of the story, where someone in a hood came over and showed him what life would be like without him. There was that bar scene where people were talking about going to this funeral, knowing that this man died, and they didn't give names, but they said, "This man had died, and are you going to the funeral? Why would I go to his funeral? Why would I give him respect and pay him homage?" Scrooge asked, "Who is this man?" And the ghost of Christmas future, knowing, says no words, moved on to the scene where Bob Cratchit was grieving the death of his son, Tiny Tim, a crutch laying in the corner next to a footstool. Scrooge was immediately shocked by this and saddened. And then he continues to ask the ghost of Christmas future all these questions. What is this? What's happening? How did he die? And the ghost just continues. And all of a sudden it shows into a cemetery where they're now saying, "Who is this man?" And he shows the light over the tombstone and it reads his name, thinking that for him it was too late. He wakes up and he immediately begins to wonder, "Did I make it? Did I make it in enough time? What, am I prepared enough? Did I make all the right decisions? Is it too late for me to change my mind?" But as you know, with God, it's always a good time. It's always a good time. So what does this have to do with Samuel, Eli, and Advent? I have no idea. But I do have, as you know, no two. Oh my God. Keep it up and it will be four. I thought I would reward you after such a good behavior this year for Christmas. Santa Claus came early to you. But I have two ideas this morning. Miss Tucker, that is not a need for you to laugh. Number one, Advent, Samuel, Eli, and Scrooge. Learning means that you're learning to forego your own agency in favor of God's agency. In common speak, it ain't about you. It ain't about you. In our scripture passage this morning, we get a sneak peek of an Israel that is coming to terms with itself, and they're going nowhere fast. They're continuing to spin their wheels. They have no clue. They had no direction. Israel was not an organized nation by the time of 1 Samuel. Tribal wars between the different tribes of Israel were threatening to tear the very fabric of the nation apart. Enemies are threatening and knocking on their very doors to try to overrun them. Israel was so lost, a commentator writes, that things were far from perfect for them, even though they were in the promised land. Eli was their prophet. He was getting up there in years, and he was going blind, and he was struggling to hear the words that the whole country was here because they couldn't hear God. God, they thought, was not present anymore. Meanwhile, Eli, their prophet, their leader, was experiencing some familial problems. His children were corrupt. He was physically and emotionally tired. He was getting to the point where Israel's final hope was fading away, never to be seen again. They were in serious trouble, that young nation. But in stepped Samuel, full of life, full of joy. Samuel was born to a woman named Hannah, who was barren for many, many years. She would always look at her husband's other wife. Her husband had two wives. Hannah was one of them. The other wife doesn't. We don't need a name for that one. It's in the Bible. But Hannah says, I want a child. The other wife has several, many children, and I have none. What do I need to do? What can I say? How can I be better? What do I need to do to have a child? She eventually has a child, and the child was named Samuel. But when God calls Samuel's voice, did you hear what happened? When God called Samuel's voice, he mistakes it for Eli, because no one has heard from God in a very long time. The visions and the voice of God was rare and infrequent for a young and anarchic Israel. But our scripture passage points out that Samuel did not yet know God. Did you see that? That Samuel did not yet know God, meaning that God was about to tell him something good. That God was just getting started with Samuel. And when he finally listened and responded to God's voice, and by making himself present, setting his own self aside to listen to God, he sees God speaking to him and anointing him with a prophetic fulfillment. The ghost of Christmas future for Scrooge was the same way. He made Scrooge look at his bleak future, saying, if you continue on this path, this is what's going to happen to you. Care for others. It's not about you. It's not about you. Scrooge, when he wakes up that morning, realizes that all the money he had in the world, all the stuff that he had accumulated, didn't matter. It was about how he treated and cared for others. Mary, in the Advent story, she knows that my soul magnifies the Lord, she says, as she responded to hearing the angel give her news that she was to carry Jesus. She realizes that in order to bring good things to this world, she has to realize that it was not about her. When we hear God's voice, King of Peace, we hear that God is about to do something great in our lives. That God is really gonna tell us something. as they say in The Color Purple. God is about to tell us something. The question is, are we going to be humble enough to listen? I'm going to say that again. Just in case you didn't hear me. When we fully hear God's voice, we hear that God is about to do something in this church. The question is, are we going to stop talking and fully listen? Realizing that it's not about us. What our ministry is not about us. What we do for this church is not about us. I appreciate you being in your positions. I'm one of them. But it's not about me. And it's not about you. It's about saving lives. Amen. It's about bringing people to Jesus. It's about telling people a good news of Jesus and His love. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So can we stop talking and finally listen to God? Can we? Let's just keep that in mind. And number two. The first idea is not about you. The second idea is that there is a power of humanity. Power of humanity. In our passage, we do see the power of humanity. One of our commentators points out this passage, in this passage, that it informs our understanding of the rest of the life of Samuel. The Lord was always with Samuel, but somehow this divine appointment does not at all diminish the totality of the human experience. Samuel undergoes eagerness, confusion, maturity, growth, realization, knowledge, panic, and affirmation. He goes through the breadth of human experience and goes through the breadth of human condition. We all go through the breadth of the human condition. Don't we? And I'd be concerned if someone says they don't. Samuel goes through the gamut of the human condition. And he learns the lesson that even though God is tapping us on our shoulder, that God's about to do something good in our lives and in our collective lives, it ain't always going to be perfect. Right? It's not always going to be perfect. We're going to be apprehensive about things in our life. We are going to get confused about things in our life. We're going to lose our way some of the time. We're not infallible. We are human beings. But the beautiful thing is about our humanity is that God will continue to work through us. We ain't got to be perfect. We just got to be excellent. Right? Oh, do I need to say that again? I don't know if I can. I'll try. You don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be excellent. You ain't got to be perfect, but you do have to be excellent. What does that mean? Blessings, amen. What does that mean? What that means is that God has given you a life. God has given you a life. And in that life, you are to live it fully. You are to live that life one day at a time. You are to live that life fully. You are to live that life with authenticity. You are to live that life as if it were your last day. Because you don't know when your time has been called. I just told someone last week that you don't get a two-way ticket. The moment you're born, you get a one-way. And the question is how you live that one way. See, Advent teaches us to live life as fully as possible, knowing that we do screw up. We do make mistakes. We say things that we may not necessarily mean. But we are to live our life as fully and as authentically as possible. Because we know that when we live that life as fully as possible and we fully live into what God has called us to be as beautiful, sexy, vibrant, powerful, beautiful human beings, then we will always hear God's call. We will always hear God's call for us, creating us, trying to make us stronger, growing us, developing us. Hearing God call. God is not done in this world. Do you believe that? Then why are we acting like he has? Excuse me for the inclusive language. I believe that when we fully live as authentically as possible, good things happen. Amen. And not just good things, but God things happen. Scrooge was not living life fully. Three ghosts took him to task. He realized at the end of his story that he had another chance at life, just like Israel did, just like humanity did through Jesus' birth. Joseph tried to put Mary away quietly, but then he heard the voice of God. Through obedience and I'm sure a lot of confusion, he did it anyway. He continued to make sure that something good was about to happen. When we fully listen, God, things happen. So this morning, as we conclude our Advent time together and we continue through the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season, knowing that it is only 6 days away, praise the Lord, remind yourself that God still works in your life. God is still speaking to you. And when you fully listen to the power and the depth of God's call, not only do good things happen, but God things happen as well. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Blessings and amen.